Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. After the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam appeared. He is among those who prophesied about Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was a time when King Hezekiah ruled the country. He was a good king and sought the advice of Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam. He listened and was obedient to Isaiah alayhi salam, and the Prophet advised him for the well-being of the state. The people loved him very much, and the country prospered under his rule. But the good times didn't last for long. One day the king fell sick, and his foot got infected as well. Sennacherib, the evil king of the nearby land, always attacked other countries and took control of their kingdoms. When Sennacherib heard that Hezekiah was sick, he decided to attack his country. Sennacherib marched with a large army of 60,000 men to attack Israel. The messengers ran to Hezekiah. "King Sennacherib of Babylon is marching towards us." The king was very worried. He knew that he couldn't face such a huge army, and he couldn't get out of his bed because of his infected foot. Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam heard the news of Sennacherib and soon arrived at the palace to meet the king. "What did Allah reveal to you about Sennacherib?" asked the king. "He has not yet revealed anything to me," answered the prophet. The king was sad to hear this. That night, the prophet received a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next day, he met Hezekiah and told him about his revelation. "You should appoint a successor, because your end is near." When the king heard this, he immediately turned to Qibla. He prayed, glorified Allah, invoked him, and wept. "O Lord of lords and God of gods, O benevolent and merciful one, remember me for my deeds and my just judgment over the children of Israel, and all that was from you, and you know it better than I do. My open acts and my secrets are with you." Allah answered his prayers and had compassion on him. He revealed to Isaiah alayhi salam to tell him that he would extend his life for a further 15 years and save him from his enemy. That night, when the prophet was praying, Allah revealed to the prophet that he was going to extend the life of Hezekiah for another 15 years. God wanted him to extract the water of the fig and apply it to his sore. He also revealed that the king would be saved from his enemy. The next day, the prophet rushed to inform the king about the good news. When the king heard about this, he was overjoyed. The king applied water of the fig to his sore, as he was commanded. It was a miracle. The sores got cured immediately. The king was happy now. He prostrated on the ground, praying, "O Lord, you grant mercy and answer the prayers of troubled ones." Then Allah sent death upon the army of Sennacherib. When Sennacherib woke up the next morning, he was shocked to find his entire army lying dead on the ground. All 60,000 of his men were dead, except for 5 of his companions. Hezekiah arrived with his soldiers and put them in shackles. He then took Sennacherib to his land and displayed him in public for 70 days to insult them. Every day, each of them was fed a loaf of barley bread and some water. After 70 days, they were confined in prison. Allah then revealed to Isaiah that the king should send Sennacherib back to Babylon so that they might warn their people. Hezekiah let them leave as commanded by Allah the next day. When Sennacherib returned to his people, he gathered all of them, including his ministers and advisors. He then told them about what had happened, how his soldiers were killed, and how he was shackled and displayed for 70 days. The priests and his magicians came forward and told the king, "We warned you before about their God and their prophets," they said. "But you did not listen," said another. "It is a nation which nobody can overcome." Sennacherib was afraid now, and he never ever thought of attacking the land of Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam again. According to Ibn Ishaq, when King Hezekiah of Israel died, the Israelites' condition deteriorated. There was political confusion, and their wickedness increased. Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam preached to them what Allah revealed to him, directing them to righteousness and warning them of Allah's punishment. His preaching made him their enemy, and they decided to kill him. The Prophet was forced to leave his country and seek shelter elsewhere. Did you like the video, kids? Please click the like button if you did. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Uzair in the next video. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I'm going to tell you the story of Prophet Uzair alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Uzair alayhi salam. A long time had passed after the death of Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam. The people were now being led by Prophet Uzair alayhi salam. The people loved him very much and followed his teachings earnestly. One day, Prophet Uzair alayhi salam headed to his farm, far away from the town he lived. He left early in the morning and traveled through the desert on his donkey. It was a hot day, and the sun shone brightly. By afternoon, he reached a deserted town. When the Prophet looked around, all he could see was old and destroyed buildings and bones lying everywhere. He was really tired, so he decided to take rest under a tree. He took out his food and started eating it. After some time, the Prophet stood up and looked around. When he saw the ruined city, he was sad. How could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring back life into the city? He wondered. He said this not out of doubt, but out of curiosity. When Allah heard this, he decided to teach the Prophet a lesson. He sent an angel of death to the Prophet, and the angel took his life. The Prophet lay without life under that tree for 100 years. In the meantime, his donkey died, and it turned into dust, except for its bones. After 100 years, God sent the angel of death back to the prophet to revive him. The angel arrived and raised the prophet back from the dead. The prophet opened his eyes and saw the angel standing before him. The angel asked him, "For how long did you sleep?" "A day or part of a day." He said this because he knew he had slept early afternoon, and now it was late in the afternoon. "You remained asleep for 100 years, said the angel. The prophet was shocked to hear that. He realized that it was by the power of God that he came back to life. He then ate and drank from the food he brought with him. Then the angel revived his donkey as well. The prophet learned a lesson that day. Allah had made a sign for his people. He then rode on his donkey back to his native town. But he was not quite ready for the surprise waiting for him. The prophet had been gone for 100 years, and in that time, the whole town had changed. He rode on his donkey and passed through the town. There are new buildings everywhere, and he couldn't recognize anyone in the town. He rode toward his house, hoping someone would recognize him. When he reached his house, he couldn't recognize anyone there as well. "Who are you?" one of the women asked. "I am Uzair," he replied. "We don't know anyone by that name," the woman replied. She asked others in the house if they knew him, but they shook their heads and told him they don't know him. The prophet saw an old woman who was blind and crippled sitting outside the house. When he looked closely, he realized that this woman was his maid. She had grown so old, and she couldn't see or walk either. "Isn't this the house of Uzair?" he asked her. "Yes, it is," she said. "But people have long forgotten about him. He was gone around 100 years ago." "I am Uzair," he told her. "Allah had taken my life, and now after 100 years, he has returned it to me." The old woman was confused. Even though she was able to recognize the voice, she still couldn't believe him. How could she? The prophet had been away for not 1 or 2 years, but for 100 years. So she told the prophet, "Allah used to answer Uzair's prayers. If you are Uzair, then pray to Allah that I might see." The prophet agreed and prayed to Allah. He stood up and placed his fingers on her eyes, gently massaging them. Then he took her hands and said, "Get up by the power of Allah." She opened her eyes, and now she could see. Her blindness was gone. Then she stood up and walked as well. The old woman couldn't believe this. She told the prophet, "Yes, what you are saying is the truth. I bear witness that you are Uzair." The prophet then asked her the whereabouts of his children. She told him they were doing quite fine. His eldest son was 118 years old by now. She took the prophet to an assembly of Israelites. The prophet's son was the head of the assembly. Even his children and grandchildren were part of the assembly. The old woman introduced the prophet to his sons. "This is your father." His sons were baffled. Their father was dead for almost 100 years by now. How could this ever happen? They were confused.
He is your father, Uzair. He is back,
the old woman said repeatedly. You are lying, his son said. How can he be back after 100 years? They accused her of lying.
I am your old maid, said the woman. He just prayed to Allah for me, and here I am, walking and seeing.
The people then stood up and approached the Prophet. My father had a black mole between his shoulders, he told the Prophet. We will believe you if you can show me that mark. The Prophet took off his shirt and showed them the black mole.
His son couldn't believe it. He now knew that they were standing before his father. He couldn't believe his eyes. Everyone was happy. Many of the young men gathered there had never met the Prophet, but they had heard stories about his wisdom from their parents. They had another reason to be happy as well. Uzair was sitting under a tree, and the people were standing before him.
While the Prophet was asleep, Nebuchadnezzar, the evil king of Babylon, had destroyed all the copies of the Torah to destroy their religion. No one remembered the Torah now. The only copy left in the world was buried somewhere only the Prophet knew.
Allah is truly great, one of his grandsons said. Only you can tell us where the last copy of the Torah is.
The Prophet led the people to the hidden place and took out the copy of the Torah. But the book had been buried for so long. Its leaves were rotted and the book itself crumpled. He sat under the shade of a tree, surrounded by the children of Israel, and copied out the Torah for them from that script. Henceforth, the Jews said that Prophet Uzair is the son of Allah. For the two pieces of evidence which came down from heaven, for his copying the Torah, and for his fighting the cause of the Israelites. The village, which was in ruins, is said to be Sairabad. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked it, then please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. A long time had passed since the death of Prophet Uzair alayhi salam, and the children of Israel reverted to their characteristics of stirring mischief amongst each other. They claimed Allah was stingy and that Allah withheld from them. These claims are the direct opposite of Allah's generosity. Bani Israel considered themselves to be the chosen people of Allah above other races, in direct contradiction of the teachings of racial equality in Islam. During this time, there lived amongst Bani Israel a man by the name of Imran. He was so renowned for his piety that his was considered to be one of the best families of all time. He was not a prophet or a messenger, but his household was so noble and elevated in Allah's kingdom, that there is even an entire chapter in the Quran named after it. Imran had a pious wife, and her sister was married to Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. The Quran does not provide accounts of Prophet Zakariya's alayhi salam childhood or youth. Hence, the story of Zakariya alayhi salam begins in his late adulthood, when he was elderly. He was a prophet and messenger of Bani Israel. He is a direct descendant of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam was a carpenter and led a simple life. The Prophet was constantly in a state of gratitude to Allah and was intensely humble in his demeanor. Like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he and his wife had already reached an extreme old age without having any children. Meanwhile, the wife of Imran, his sister-in-law, gave birth to Maryam alayhi salam, and she pledged to dedicate Maryam alayhi salam towards pure servitude to Allah. Shortly after the birth of Maryam alayhi salam, her father Imran passed away. This sparked off a dispute within Bani Israel on her guardianship. Zakariya alayhi salam should have been the obvious choice. He was her uncle by marriage, and moreover was a prophet whose moral character and piety were beyond question. But, true to their character, Bani Israel disputed this choice, for they wanted the prestige of raising Imran's daughter. The people eventually agreed that they should cast lots to decide the matter. All the candidates wrote down their names on pens and put them in a container. A child was sent to pick one at random. The pen that was selected bore Zakariya alayhi salam's name. Dissatisfied at the outcome, some of them asked for the cast to be repeated. This time, the claimants put all their pens in the river. The pen that would swim against the current would win the guardianship. Again, it was the pen of Zakariya alayhi salam that won. Still stubborn and quarrelsome, they demanded a third round. This time, they decided that whichever pen swam with the current would win the cast. Yet again, it was only Zakariya's alayhi salam pen that differed from the rest, swimming with the current. Observe the power of Allah. People may plot and plan, but what is written will take place. Thus, Bani Israel had no choice but to acknowledge that Zakariya alayhi salam was entitled to assume the guardianship of Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam grew up as a righteous woman. From her childhood, she was in a state of prayer, positioned in seclusion away from the people, in an enclosure within Bayt al-Maqdis, specially built for her. There were some strange things going on. Every time the Prophet, as her guardian, checked on her, always found her surrounded by an abundance of food. This was not food that he brought for her. So how did it find its way into her private sanctuary? More strangely, the fruits did not belong to the climate as well. He asked her where it was from, and she replied that it was from Allah. Witnessing these miracles repeatedly only reaffirmed the Prophet's faith in Allah. Like his ancestor, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had always yearned for a child to continue the legacy of prophethood. But his wife was unable to bear children. He did not want children to inherit his wealth, but rather a son who would continue spreading the message and knowledge of Islam. Encouraged by the miracles he had witnessed, he prayed with utmost conviction to Allah. Before long, Allah responded to his prayer. One day, when the Prophet was in prayer, the angels arrived bearing the good news in his prayer chamber. They told him that his wife's barrenness had been cured, and they were to have a son who would also become a prophet. "You must name your son Yahya," said the angels. Moreover, the son had the honor of being named by Allah himself, with a name that had never existed in mankind's history. Nevertheless, the Prophet was astounded by the news, and he burst out, "My Lord, how will I have a boy when I have reached old age and my wife is barren?" The angel said, "Such is Allah. He does what He wills." The Prophet continued, "My Lord, make for me a sign." To this, the angels replied, "Your sign is that you will not be able to speak to the people for 3 days except by gesture. And remember your Lord much, and exalt him with praise in the evening and in the morning." True to Allah's promise, his wife soon delivered a son, and he was named Yahya alayhi salam. His son Yahya alayhi salam grew up and became a prophet as well. I shall tell you the story of Yahya alayhi salam in the next episode. But to summarize it, Yahya alayhi salam was brutally murdered. Imagine the heartbreak that Zakariya alayhi salam must have felt. Yahya alayhi salam was the ideal son, for not only was he an exceptionally devoted servant to Allah, but he was also kind and generous to his parents. When Yahya alayhi salam was murdered, there was crisis among Bani Israel. According to reports, emboldened by the murder of Yahya alayhi salam, Bani Israel decided to turn against his father too. A mob, bent on hatred and destruction, set out to kill Zakariya alayhi salam. Such was their arrogance and disbelief that they were willing to murder their own prophets. The old prophet managed to flee. With Allah's will, a tree opened its trunk and allowed the prophet to hide inside and then wrapped him up. However, the shaitan pulled a fragment of the prophet's clothes through the crack, thus exposing him. According to some reports, the pursuers initially wanted to set the tree on fire, but then decided instead to saw the tree in half along with the prophet in it. This was how his life abruptly ended, by the evil hands of the very people he was trying to guide. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked it, then please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was the son of Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. His birth was a miracle, because he was born of a barren mother and an aged father. He was mentioned in the chapters of the Qur'an, such as Surah Al-Imran, Al-An'am, Maryam, and Al-Anbiya. Among all the heavenly scholars and prophets of Bani Israel, Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was one of the most magnificent prophets. Like I said earlier, he was born of a barren mother and an aged father. When Prophet Zakaria was over 90 years old, he prayed to Allah to bless him with a son who could prove to be a successful heir and preacher of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His prayer was promptly granted, and the angel delivered him the good news. But the prophet was curious. He asked, "My Lord, give me a sign." The angel replied, "Your sign is that you will not be able to speak to people for 3 days." Like the angel said, the old prophet was not able to speak for the next 3 days. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was born a stranger to the world of children. While they used to amuse themselves, Yahya alayhi salam was serious all the time. Most children took delight in torturing animals, whereas he was merciful to them. He fed the animals from his food until there was nothing left for him. He just ate fruit or leaves of trees. Once, some children invited him to play with them. He replied that he was not created for playing. This showed that from an early age, Yahya alayhi salam was single-minded and serious about his purpose in life, which was to worship and serve Allah. Unlike most other prophets who received the revelation after they turned 40, Yahya alayhi salam was given sacred scriptures from a very young age. Allah guided him to read the book of jurisprudence closely. Thus, he became the wisest and most knowledgeable man of that time. Therefore, Allah the Almighty endowed him with the faculties of passing judgments on people's affairs, interpreting the secrets of religion, guiding people to the right path, and warning them against the wrong one. Soon, Yahya alayhi salam reached maturity. His compassion for his parents, as well as for all people and all creatures, increased greatly. He called people to repent their sins. One time, his parents were looking for him and went searching for him. They walked for a long time and finally found him at the banks of the Jordan River, crying. When his parents asked him what the reason for his crying was, he explained that the people of Jannah do not sleep from the pleasure of Allah that they received from him. How, therefore, could he now sleep, not knowing if he had attained the pleasure of Allah? On another occasion, his parents found him sitting and weeping in a grave that he had dug for himself. His father, Zakaria alayhi salam, asked what he was doing. Yahya alayhi salam replied, "O father, did you not yourself tell me that between Jannah and Hell there is only one crossing which cannot be crossed except by tears of weepers?" Zakaria alayhi salam then said, "Weep, my son." And they both cried together. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam preferred to spend his days in seclusion, shunning the company of others. He also did not have an ordinary diet, preferring to eat leaves and drink water from the spring. It is said that he was so afraid of depriving birds and animals from their share that he should wait for them to finish first, sometimes even eating their leftovers. The Prophet never owned any property or wealth. In fact, during this time, Bani Israel were accustomed to living in luxury and wore fine clothing. Yahya, alayhi salam, instead preferred to use the hide and pelts of animals, again demonstrating his surrender, humility, fear, and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He found comfort in the open and never cared about food. He ate leaves, herbs, and sometimes locusts. He slept anywhere in the mountains or in holes in the ground. He sometimes would find a lion or a bear as he entered a cave, but being deeply absorbed in praising Allah, he never heeded them. The beasts easily recognized him as the Prophet who cared for all the creatures, so they would leave the cave, bowing their heads. When the Prophet called the people to worship Allah, he made them cry out of love and submission, arresting their hearts with the truthfulness of his words. The people of Bani Israel loved and respected Yahya alayhi salam greatly, and his words used to touch their hearts. It is reported that Allah commanded Yahya alayhi salam with 5 duties, which he was asked to command Bani Israel with. The Prophet delivered the 5 commandments, which were to worship none other than Allah. The second was to offer prayers to Allah, and not to allow themselves to be distracted towards other things. The third is of the commandment to fast. The fourth was to give charity. The fifth was frequent remembrance of Allah. The man is more protected from shaitan when he is in Allah's remembrance. A conflict took place between Yahya alayhi salam and the authorities at that time. Herod Antipas, a tyrant king, ruled Palestine during those days. He was in love with a beautiful woman named Salome, who was actually his brother's daughter. He was planning to marry his niece. The marriage was encouraged by her mother and by some of the learned men of Zion, either out of fear or to gain favor with the ruler. On hearing the ruler's plan, Yahya alayhi salam pronounced that such a marriage would be incestuous. He would not approve of it under any circumstances, as it was against the law of the Torah. The Prophet's pronouncement spread like wildfire. When Salome heard this, she was angry, for it was her ambition to rule the kingdom with her uncle. She plotted to get rid of the Prophet. One day, she dressed attractively and sand danced before her uncle. The king fell in love with her performance and offered to fulfill whatever she desired. At once she told him, "I would love to have the head of Yahya, because he has defiled your honor and mine throughout the land. If you grant me this wish, I shall be very happy and will offer myself to you." Bewitched by her charm, he submitted to her monstrous request. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was executed, and his head was brought to Salome. The cruel woman gloated with delight, but the death of Allah's beloved Prophet was soon avenged. Not only she, but all the children of Israel were severely punished by invading armies which destroyed their kingdom. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked it, please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. One day, Maryam alayhi salam was praying in the temple. Suddenly, an angel appeared in the form of a man before her and said, "I am a messenger from your Lord, and I am here to announce to you the gift of a righteous son." To this, Maryam alayhi salam replied, "How can I have a son when no man has touched me?" The angel said that it is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also added that God wanted to appoint her son as a sign to mankind and a mercy from Allah. The angel's visit caused her great anxiety, which increased as the months went by. How could she face giving birth to a child without having a husband? Later, she felt life kicking inside her. With a heavy heart, she left the temple and went to Nazareth, the city in which she had been born. She settled in a simple farmhouse to avoid the public. But fear and anxiety did not leave her. After some months, she could not bear the mental strain any longer. Burdened with a heavy womb, she left Nazareth, not knowing where to go. She had not gone far when she was overtaken by the pain of childbirth. She sat down against a dry palm tree, and here she gave birth to a son. Looking at her beautiful baby, she was hurt that she had brought him into the world without a father. Suddenly, she heard a voice nearby. "Grieve not. Your Lord has placed a rivulet below. And shake the trunk of this tree, from which ripe dates will fall. So eat and drink and regain the strength you have lost. And be of good cheer, for what you see is the power of Allah." For a while, she was comforted by Allah's miracle, for it was a sure sign of her innocence and purity. She decided to return to the city. However, her fears also returned. What was she going to tell the people? As if sharing his mother's worry, the baby began to speak. "If you meet any person, say, 'I have vowed to fast and may not speak to any human today.'" Maryam alayhi salam was stunned to hear her newborn speak. With this miracle, she felt at ease. As she had expected, her arrival in the city with a newborn baby in her arms aroused the curiosity of the people. They scolded her. "This is a terrible sin that you have committed." She put her finger to her lips and pointed to the child. They asked, "How can we speak to a newborn baby?" To their total amazement, the child began to speak clearly. "I am Allah's servant. Allah has given me the book and made me a prophet. He has blessed me wherever I may be. Peace unto me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive.
The people were shocked. They realized that the baby was unique. For if Allah wills something, He merely says, be, and it happens. But the Jewish priest felt this child was dangerous, for they felt that the people would turn their worship to Allah, displacing the existing Jewish tenets. They feared they would lose their authority over the people. Therefore, they kept the miracle of Isa's speech in infancy a secret and accused Maryam alayhi salam of great misdeeds. As Isa alayhi salam grew, the signs of prophethood began to increase as well. He could tell his friends what kind of supper waited for them at home, and what they had hidden and where. Once, when he was 12, he accompanied his mother to Jerusalem. There, he wandered into the temple and joined the crowd listening to the lectures of the rabbis. The audience were all adults, but he was not afraid to sit with them. After listening intently, he asked questions and expressed his opinion. The learned rabbis were disturbed by the boy's boldness and puzzled by the questions he asked, for they were unable to answer him. Prophet Isa alayhi salam grew up to manhood. It was Sabbath, a day of complete rest. No fire could be lit nor extinguished, nor could females plait with their hair. Prophet Musa alayhi salam had commanded that Saturday be dedicated to the worship of Allah. However, the wisdom behind the Sabbath and its spirit had gone. They made 100 things unlawful on Saturday, even calling a doctor to save a patient. One Sabbath day, the Prophet was on his way to the temple. Although it was Sabbath, he reached out his hand to pick fruit to feed a hungry child. This was considered to be a violation of Sabbath law. He made a fire for the old women to keep themselves warm from the freezing air. This was considered as another violation. He went to the temple and looked around. There were 20,000 Jewish priests who earned their living from the temple. The Prophet observed that the visitors were much fewer than the priests. Yet, the temple was full of sheep and doves, which were sold to the people to be offered as sacrifice. Every step in the temple cost the visitor money. When the poor people, who could not afford the price of sheep or dove, entered the temple, they were driven away like flies. The Prophet was astonished. Why did the priests burn a lot of offerings inside the temple, while thousands of poor people were hungry outside it? On this blessed night, the two noble prophets, Yahya alayhi salam and his father, Zakariya alayhi salam, were killed by the ruling authority. It was on this night that Prophet Isa alayhi salam received the revelation. Allah the Exalted commanded him to begin his call to the children of Israel. Like an opposing force, the message of Prophet Isa alayhi salam came to denounce the practices of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Prophet's call, from the beginning, was marked by its complete uptightness and piety. He continued inviting the people to Almighty Allah. His teachings annoyed the priests. For every word, the Prophet was a threat to them and their position, exposing their misdeeds. The Jewish priests soon started to plot against the Prophet. They wanted to embarrass him and prove that he had come to destroy the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law provides that an adulteress be stoned to death. They brought him a Jewish adulteress
and asked, "Does not the law stipulate the stoning of this adulteress?" The Prophet answered, "Yes." Then they said, "This woman is an adulteress." The Prophet looked at the woman and then at the priests. He understood their plan. He smiled and assented, "Whoever among you is sinless can stone her." His voice rose in the middle of the temple, making a new law on adultery for the sinless to judge the sin. As he left the temple, the woman followed him. She took out a bottle of perfume from her garments, knelt before his feet, and washed them with perfume and tears, and dried his feet with her hair. Isa alayhi salam turned to the woman and told her to stand up. Then he said, "O Lord, forgive her sins." Did you like the story, kids? If you liked the video, please click that like and subscribe button. And don't forget to click the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Inshallah, I will tell you the next part of Prophet Isa alayhi salam's story tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I'm going to tell you the next part of the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. The Prophet continued to pray to Allah for mercy on his people, and he was aided by divine miracles. Some Quranic commentators said that the Prophet brought four people back from the dead. When the Jews saw this, they said, "You only resurrect those who have died recently. Perhaps they only fainted." They asked him to bring back to life Sam bin Nuh. When he asked them to show his grave, the people accompanied him there. Isa alayhi salam invoked Allah the Exalted to bring him back to life. And behold, Sam ibn Nuh came out from the grave. One day, Prophet Isa asked his supporters to fast for 30 days. His followers agreed, and they started fasting. Upon completion of the 30-day fasting period, the followers went along with Isa alayhi salam to the desert. It was normal for thousands of people to follow the Prophet wherever he went. Many of the followers were sick people who hoped to be cured by the Prophet. A group of people who were against the teachings of the Prophet also followed him wherever he went. They followed him so that they can mock at the Prophet and belittle him at every opportunity they got. After the 30-day fasting period, the disbelievers asked the Prophet if they could have a spread of food from the sky. They asked for this as confirmation that God had accepted their fast. They wanted to eat something special on the day they broke their fast. They also wanted the spread to be enough for all of them. There were thousands of people present there, and the disbelievers knew that the Prophet could never deliver what they asked for. Prophet Isa alayhi salam agreed to their request. He went to a silent spot and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a miracle! God accepted the prayers of the Prophet, and a huge spread of food descended right from the sky. There was one cloud below the spread and one cloud above it, and it was surrounded by angels. Slowly it came down to the ground, and as it descended, the Prophet remained immersed in his prayers.
the spread of food landed near the prophet. There was white cloth covering the spread. The prophet took this off, saying, "In the name of Allah, the best sustainer." When the cloth covering the spread was taken off, the people gathered around and looked in wonder. There were 7 big fish, 7 loaves of bread, vinegar, salt, honey, and many other fruits as well. The spread had a wonderful smell. The people never really smelled anything so wonderful before. The prophet then asked the disbelievers to eat from the spread, but they replied, "We will not eat from it until we see you eating from the spread." "You are the ones who asked for it," the prophet asked them. "Then you should eat the food first." But the disbelievers still refused. The prophet then asked the poor, sick, handicapped, and the blind to eat from the spread. There were more than 1,000 of them, and all of them ate from the spread. Then another miracle took place. All the sick people who ate from the spread got cured. Same was the case with the handicapped, the blind, and all the others. It was a miracle. The disbelievers were now sad because they had refused to eat from the spread when they were invited first. The news of the feast traveled fast, and it reached the city. Thousands of people traveled to witness this divine feast. The number of people who wanted to take part in this feast had now become so huge. The prophet then asked them to take turns to have this feast. Days passed. Each person, from the very first to the very last, ate until they were full. It is said that almost 7,000 people ate from the feast each day. After 40 days, God asked the prophet to allow only the poor to eat from the feast and not the rich. The prophet warned the people to be honest and asked the rich to stay away from the feast. He also asked the poor not to take away the food and save it for the next day. However, the people didn't listen to the prophet. The rich people ate from the spread, pretending to be poor. And many poor people took food with them, disobeying the prophet's orders. As a result, the spread of food was lifted back into the sky where it came from. The people talked about this miracle for many days and were convinced about Allah's miracles. Prophet Isa alayhi salam went on with his mission. The priests realized that if they didn't do something, then all of them would soon be jobless. They started accusing him of magic, breaking Mosaic law, and even an allegiance with the devil. When the Jews failed to stop the prophet's call, they decided to kill him. The chief priests held secret meetings to agree on the best way of getting rid of the prophet. The priests had no authority to pass the death sentence at the time, so they convinced the Roman governor that the prophet was plotting against the security of the Roman Empire. They urged him to take immediate action against him. The glorious Quran affirms that Allah the Exalted did not permit the people of Israel to kill Jesus or crucify him. What happened was that Allah saved him from his enemies and raised him to heaven. The people of Israel mistook another man for the prophet, and they arrested and crucified him. In the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Jesus to him to the heavens. It is believed that on the day of resurrection, Prophet Isa alayhi salam will be standing as a witness. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked the video, please click the like and subscribe buttons. And don't forget to click the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most important prophet in Islam tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye.